right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Thank you, BBS, for making this show possible for us online, making it possible to be heard worldwide. This is the Wednesday question and answer call, a simulcast for the conference call as usual. I'm glad you're all here. And we are still 4 minutes away from the hour. Every time you hear a ding that somebody else is joining in at the conference call, and we just had somebody else join in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Robert in Glendora. Hi, everybody.
Robert, hi, good evening. Welcome to the call.
Hi. Hi, Robert.
Good evening.
Hi, Robert.
Sending you all loving kindness.
All right. Right back to you, Robert.
Anyway, that machine really helps you sleep a lot better, you know, and relaxes you, and it's healing my body.
Great, great. Good to hear.
Increase.
I welcome the next caller. Please say your name and location. Somebody else joining
in. Hello, Michael in Camino, California.
Hello, Michael. Welcome to the call.
How you doing, buddy?
Good, good, man. Thank you for being here.
Great,
and somebody else came in? All right. Somebody else came in right after you. I welcome that person. If you want to, please say your name and location.
It's Sandra from Virginia Beach.
Welcome back. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
All right. Somebody else joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Felipe, Long Beach, California.
Hello. Good avond, Felipe. Welcome to the call.
Hi, hi.
Thank you for being here.
Likewise. Hi, everyone.
All right.
Hi.
All
yeah, everyone
right.
should get one of those machines. I would not do it without it anymore. You know that?
All right. So, what website, Dharmananda?
What is it called?
Sleeptoheal.com.
Sleeptoheal.com.
It's called Earth Pulse.
By no, Morgan
sleep.
In California.
Sleep to Heal.
Sleep, S-L-E-E-P. T-O, heal?
Yeah, heal.
All
yeah.
right, thank you so much.
H-E-A-L.
If we had several more people join in at the conference call, thank you so much for being here. If you have a chance, please say your name and location.
Morgan in California.
Hello, Morgan. Welcome to the call.
I'm really excited about all this. Glad to see that email from Wynn about
yes.
who's going to be on. Okay. Okay.
Bells joined in, please. Step up and say your name and location.
This is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, how you say, everybody?
Hello, Don. Good evening. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Who else joined in? Please say your name and location.
Hello, hi. It's Eric in Santa Fe.
Hello, Eric. Welcome to the call, man.
Hey, man. What's going on?
Another beautiful day.
Yeah. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
And more people have joined in, I know. Please, if you have a chance, please say your name and location.
This is Marilyn in Flagstaff.
Hello, Marilyn. Welcome to the call. Good evening to you.
Thank you.
Thank
Good
you for being
you.
Here. Welcome to the call, please. Location. But only if you want to, we welcome you. Thank you for
Hi,
being here.
Hi, this is Diane. Soda.
Hello, Diane. Minnesota represented. Good to hear your voice.
Yes, good to hear you, too.
Thank you so much. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
It's Robin.
Barry in Miami.
Say it again, please.
Robin from Honeycomb.
I hear Robin. Hi, Robin.
Hi.
And I heard a gentleman, too, I believe. Please say your name and location.
Barry in Miami.
Hey, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Is that Barry? Barry in Miami?
Oh, Jerry. Jerry.
Jerry. Jerry.
Yes.
Hi, Jerry.
I win.
Do I hear Win in Sedona?
No. Jerry, you sound you sound familiar. You sound familiar. Do I know you?
Jerry, he's talking to you.
Oh, we've corresponded a few times via email.
Okay. I thought I recognized your voice.
There's an energy thing.
More people have tuned in. Welcome to the call. We have a chance to say a name and location.
I just want to say one thing. Jerry, you sound like my relatives from Philadelphia.
Oh, really? Okay.
Well, that's Chris in Memphis.
Hey, Chris.
Hey. And this is Chris in Scappoose, Oregon.
Is it the other Chris? Hi, Chris.
Hi.
All right. I'm going to turn the things off. This is the last call for those who want to announce themselves. If you have a chance, please say a name and location.
Yes, this is Jim in Blue Ball, Pennsylvania.
All right. Jim, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. You're in Blue Ball?
Blue Ball.
Don't ask.
It's a very small town, but we're all very proud of it.
All right.
Better than Elephantitis, Pennsylvania.
Jim, did they name it like that because all the guys weren't getting any?
That's because they're too cold.
Well, Blue Ball is only about 45 miles from Intercourse. look it up if you think I'm kidding.
There isn't any.
Okay. Can we play? Can you bottom this? Okay.
Hello, everybody. I love you all.
All right, left to you, man.
Thank you.
I'm hearing everybody. What you just said, Jim, because I was my mother was born brought up in that area.
I think we've all visited there once or twice.
Lot of action.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Yeah. You know what? After all this time of being living in our house, and wondering if we were nutcases, Jim got a session with Ed Spina, and he says, geez, Lynn, I think there's something to this. Right, Jim?
All callers are unmuted.
Yes, that's right. You and Ed and Terry have shown me some light.
Hey, Lynn, I had one today, too. I had one today.
Hey, Ed's a great guy.
Me and guess
too.
What, Jim? I'm an electrician. I can show you some additional light if you want me to.
I'm sorry?
I'm an electrician. I can show you some additional light if you want me to.
I would like that. It would brighten up my life for sure.
Take away those blue balls.
Jim doesn't know the difference between halogen and halitosis. Now, Chris, you had a session with Ed.
Yes, man, it was all. He said the stuff that we cleared and I had to clear was the most he's ever seen, and I'm not exaggerating. I mean, that's what he said.
Oh yeah,
and I feel awesome, man. I feel 50 pounds lighter.
All right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Marilyn, did you have a session?
Yes, it was awesome.
Hi.
It was absolutely
oh
awesome.
Actually, if it got to Maryland, there must be something to it.
Yes, that's true.
That's right.
I'm sorry.
Pardon?
Did you guys do the CD first, or did you just get the...
Yeah, I did the CD first, and then I talked to him today.
Okay.
I just talked to him today. The CD didn't download for me, so... I talked to him on the phone when we did it.
Thanks.
I was laughing.
He saved my life.
By the time I hung up, I was laughing. I felt so light.
You didn't jog
around the block, did you?
No, but I felt like I could.
Okay. All right. We're muting everybody.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
We didn't record those beautiful testimonies, Vin.
No, I know it. Oh, well.
This conference is being recorded.
This is May 27th.
2015, and we were just getting all these people who had had sessions with Ed Spina, and I told him I didn't record it. So I'll tell you what, I'm going to record it. You have to say them again.
All callers are unmuted.
We actually have Chris. Just so you know.
Oh, yeah. What was that, on BDS, you mean?
We recorded it, so we got it all.
All right. Hey, is that Don? Don, are you, what are you doing listening to my calls? Don is going to come in and say, Wayne, pay your bill or we're going to cut you off.
We recorded it beautifully, so have an amazing broadcast, and if you want it, we'll send it to you in a little clip if you want it.
Okay. Well, you know what? Okay. Send me in a clip. Okay.
We'll also be part of the broadcast.
Yeah. Hey, Don? Don?
Yes. It's Doug.
Is that Doug? Doug?
Oh, this is Don. No, Doug's out. Doug actually stepped out.
Buddy, you guys look alike.
Hey, Don, maybe I'll treat you to a session from Ed.
Well, I wish I could. Unfortunately, I've been working so hard I'm starting to sweat, and I wouldn't make it.
I don't mean at this moment. It's, you know, sometimes it'll be scheduled.
Oh, I would love it.
All right?
That would be truly awesome. Thank you.
Very awesome. You don't even have to be in the room with him.
You know, he's able to send energy and help clear somebody's, you know, energy field. He removes entities. It only took me 3 years to be willing to recommend Ed. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and the Elohim said he was okay. So.
I'm back, baby.
I'll set it up. Now, Chris, you remember what Ed said on the call about if you go back into the past habits, you bring. He said, Jesus said, sin no more. Well, I said, if you go back into the past habits, you...
Right. I'd already started after my uncle passed on Sunday. I already started and turned it around. So it kind of everything kind of came into place at the same time. So.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Do we have Terry on the line?
She's here.
Hello,
hi, Terry.
Terry. We don't hear you, Terry. Are you unmuted?
Yeah, I'm unmuted now.
Now you're unmuted.
Yes.
Great to have you here, Terry. How are you?
Hey, thank you.
All right.
Now, Terry, are you up for the session tonight? I know you. She's
yes.
really low energy today, right?
Yeah.
If you feel it's pulling on your energy too much, then let me know, and we'll have then I'll talk about something. Okay?
Okay.
Great. So I'll tell you what, let's go right into this. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light, transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. It is a joy to be with each and every one of you. And we are honored to be able to be here to be of assistance where we can. Do you have questions?
Yes. We have a question from Don Herman. And he asked a question about a quote in the Creator God book. And the quote was, "You may change your attitude or the materials you are working with by the nature of your intention. As you change your intention, creation will work with you to help fulfill what you are creating. Thank you." And the question is, could you elaborate on that quote?
Thank you. When a person has a certain orientation, it may be conscious or even unconscious, but if it dilutes or blunts their intention towards what they really wish, then it can affect the outcome. If all systems are goal and they are in alignment and the intentions, subconscious and conscious, are in alignment with what they wish, it adds a great deal and pulls energy in from the universe to help them toward their goal. It creates synchronicities by alerting them to the goal, and they are in alignment, so they notice the things that they need to notice, which they might not notice otherwise.
Lynn.
Here we go. Thank you. Terry and I had an experience this week, which was obviously an amazing synchronicity. And I just thought I would share the synchronicity and ask our sources the mechanism by how the universe works that caused this to happen, because it was tremendously improbable. And I've had many of these things in my life. But recent times, you know, I'm focused on grounding everything, so I'm not out in the world in random situations where things come to me, but this was one where it did. And some of you have heard me talk about Richard Chapin, who lives in Tucson, and that I had met Richard at the UFO conference, and we had a connection, and he thought he had a lifetime around. He brought this up. He said he had a lifetime with Akhenaten, and I don't know if that's true or not, but I could feel it could be. And so I actually went to Tucson, met him, and he is quite eccentric. He owns a swap meet in Tucson, and it's probably the biggest swap meet in Arizona. And he took a lot of profits from the swap meet, and he built a 5-story mirror in the desert, okay? A parabolic mirror, and he had this idea that if you focused on moonlight and the stars and could amplify that light so that somebody would stand in the light, they would get a healing or they'd get some kind of positive benefit. And so people were coming from all over the world to stand in front of his mirror. And then he built a smaller one that people could own. But the smaller one was quite expensive. It was like $4,000 and not very easy to sell. So he hasn't sold too many. The bigger mirror actually blew down in a huge windstorm. It cost him $2 million, and it was shattered in pieces. Well, in any case, when I was visiting him afterwards, there's a guy that Terry and I met, and we met him at a garage sale a block from Terry's house. And we bought something from him there, and we started talking, and it turns out he is an astronomer. And he's kind of like an entertainment astronomer, if you can believe that. And he goes around all over and does astronomy demonstrations and lets people look through telescopes at hotels and different places. And they pay him to do it. And so he happens to do an event at the most, and once a week he does it, at the most expensive hotel in Sedona, okay? And has all kinds of celebrities and rich people, and we couldn't, you know, none of us could afford it. It's probably $300-$500 a night. So I had the idea that it would be really neat to introduce Richard to Dennis, the astronomer, and that Dennis might invite him, if he felt comfortable, to come to his hotel event and let people try Richard's mirror. And it might make Dennis's event more interesting, and Richard might sell some mirrors because he's dealing with a total crowd that could afford them. So earlier this week, I got a text message from Richard, and he was saying, I might be up in Sedona this weekend if you want to visit. And so I was thinking, well, this is a good chance to introduce Richard to Dennis and see if they have any chemistry. Now, I didn't even have Dennis's phone number. I didn't even remember his name. I just remembered him, and he lived a block away. So it was in my agenda to go knock on his door and see if, and just talk to him again. Well, yesterday, Terry was at Safeway, and I called her. She called me, and she said she was hungry. And I said, I'll tell you what, I'll come down to Safeway. You know, they have a really cheap, we don't usually do this. Sometimes I'll go to Safeway and eat something if I'm running around Sedona because it's really cheap and it's, it seems like it's somewhat healthy, somewhat. And so Terry said she was hungry, so we went to Safeway, and there's a little eating section there, a little kind of with tables for people who want to sit there and eat. And so we're sitting there, and some guy is going through the check stand, and I see him, and he looks familiar, and I wave at him, right? Now, I didn't even remember who he was. I said, you know who that was, Jerry? And she said, that was Dennis, the astronomer, okay? And I said, oh, my God. It was only an hour before that I got the text message from Richard, and there was Dennis. And if I was there by myself, I wouldn't even remember who he was. So it took Terry and I to be there, and I don't even think we ever were there together before. But I said, I'm going to come down. And, you know, it was like, it felt like when I go review these things, there was an intuition to do this, and I acted on the intuition. But I wasn't even thinking it was an intuition. I was just thinking Terry said she was hungry, and I showed up. And so I started telling Dennis about Richard, and then I put the two of them on the phone together, Dennis knew about Richard's mirror, and now Richard's going to come up, and we have it arranged for everybody to have dinner together. Richard's going to meet Dennis, and they're going to see if there's, you know, anything comes of it, okay? Now, it was incredibly improbable set of circumstances for all that to happen, for me to meet Richard, for Dennis to text me, for me to meet Richard, for Richard to text me, and for me to meet Dennis. And it's very complex what happens on the other side when something like this happens. And so I sort of take this opportunity to ask our sources, what happens on the other side? And how does it interface with this side to cause something like that to occur? Thank you.
Thank you. Each person, as they go here and there, leave a trail of energy. And so Dennis's trail of energy is prevalent through Safeway as he goes there frequently. So Terry had seen him before at Safeway, and they had talked briefly. And Terry was hoping she would see him again and could make a little better connection when she accidentally ran into him at the Safeway store. So these trails of energy have a certain frequency, and your calls to Richard have a certain frequency, and the putting together of Dennis's energy with Richard make a mixture of energy. So, because you were alerted to the potential of meeting with Dennis, then when Dennis went here, it opened up the door to meet with him. Terry was already on the alert for Dennis, and had seen him there before. So it is a matching up of energies, and it is a matching up of intentions, so that these intentions act as a superior link to make people together.
Now, when I made the decision to go to Safeway and meet Terry, did somewhere in my unconscious, was I aware that Dennis was there and made that choice, or was that just coincidence?
The energy, Dennis's energy was already there. Terry's energy was already there. And your energy had Dennis in mind, so it made the link more probable.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Because that kind of related to that question. As you change your intention, creation will work with you to help fulfill what you are creating. And that's the situation where I think we could say that creation was working with us to bring all the pieces together. And next question here. Let's see. This is a good one for Amy Wilson, all right? And a number of people are saying this. Of course, they've been saying this for years. So we'll ask it again. Is California going to have a giant earthquake soon? I cannot sense whether it's going to happen, but I am worried. Thank you.
Thank you. There are probabilities, and we, working with your group, have in the past We search for the words modified the energies to forestall it, to etherically to mute and blunt the idea that the potential of the earthquake. Sometimes, for instance, one time on the call kept getting dropped. Jerry was in the way, and Wynn was in Sedona, and the energies of the earthquake potential were affecting the electric grid, and there was a potential for a large earthquake. And we ran those potentials by on the call. Terry was interpreting, and she did not go into the details. But the energy was projected into the Bay of California. So within 24 hours, there was a 6.8 and a 6.6 or 5 earthquake in the Bay of California to help release those energies. There are a great number of people in California who are working with the grids and praying that the energies be forestalled. You need to realize, though, that one section of the land is moving north, west, in a very minute way every year. And this needs to be adjusted and released. So there will be earthquakes there. There may be a large earthquake and there. Many people are predicting it. And when Terry hears a prediction, then she brings it to our attention and asks us to work with the energies to make it best possible. We do not generally make predictions, although we did make one prediction about 7 months ago that there would be a 6.0 earthquake in California, and within 24 hours, that earthquake did present itself. We do not do that often.
Would it be helpful to put, like, for example, I know two people that have email lists in California. Would it be helpful to have them run a special blast and invite people to our Sunday call and get 100 people from California on the call, helping to hold the energy to keep an earthquake at bay?
We suggest that how you do this, if you write about potential earthquake, then a lot of the people will simply go into fear, and it will not help.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay, next question is from Chris Blair in Memphis. And Chris is asking about his Uncle Bill, who died a few days ago. And he's asking, is his Uncle Bill hanging around him, and is he stuck, and can he or you do anything to help him?
Thank you. He is still with his body as much as possible, or the energies from his body. He has not adjusted yet. And he does appear around you sometimes. He is struggling to adjust. We bring in the light for him as a stabilization that he can fix upon the light and partake of the light to increase his light energy and to align himself with the rising to a higher level.
Thank you. This is from Sandra Taylor in Virginia Beach, Virginia. How do you know if you are on the right path, or if you are in fact raising your vibration? How do you trust when there have been several millenniums under such a thick veil? How does this knowledge go from head to heart? I would so appreciate some guidance if this is possible. You have no idea how much I appreciate you and Terry, I guess she means me and Terry, for all the time and energy you so lovingly put forth for this opportunity for guidance. Thank you, Sandra Taylor.
Thank you. Removal of negative energies can then open the heart. If one is contemplating, thinking about the negative energies, trying to solve them, then the brain is active in this, and it is not the brain that can open the energies for you to open up the heart, to align your chakras, to open up the crown chakra, to be able to accept love, to receive love, to give love, and to delete, to let go of the negative energies will automatically open up the heart. Lynn?
Yeah, okay, thank you. I would suggest, you know, Sandra might listen to the Ed Spina stuff and see if she resonates with maybe a session with Ed would help clear some of this for her and speed up the process. Marilyn Lawrence in Flagstaff. You know, you're asking, what is the source's position on prophecy? And let me just make a quick comment, because we've discussed that a little bit before, where there are a number of timelines at work simultaneously on the Earth plane. And on some of the timelines, the negative wins. On some of the timelines, we go into a future of really great stuff. On some of the timelines, there's an earthquake. On some of the timelines, there isn't. On some of the timelines, there's a nuclear war. It's like a collaboration of intentions that are happening. So usually, a prophecy comes from a lower timeline, and somebody that's in that timeline can say something that's going to happen from that timeline. And if it's negative, then in a sense, they are actually promoting that prophecy or that prediction by saying it, okay? Because nothing is locked in stone. And particularly if we're doing what it seems like we're doing, we're operating at a very high timeline that can have the potential to take precedence over more negative predictions. So that's why we don't usually make predictions. That was my partial answer to the question from material that's come up previously, and I'll turn it over to our sources. What is the source's position on prophecy?
Thank you. Thank you. We see that prophecy fixes something, an action, a result, into a timeline. And it takes determination away because the individuals have a chance to create a whole different timeline. Everything is created at the same time. And so, looking at it from our point of view, it can change in a heartbeat if the orientation of all the people creating is changed.
Ben.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. You know, there was something also that came up that, you know, there's a flow of energy that goes, that we talk about every time we call in the light. It goes from, you know, radiates from the center of the universe through us and into the earth. And if enough people were connected to that flow, the earth would be in a much better balance. But at one point, our sources said the reason the pyramids were built, and there was a whole bunch of pyramids around the country, or you know, around the world, a whole bunch meaning maybe 7 or 8 or 9, but they were helping to anchor the flow of energy for our planet from the center of the galaxy. But if the people in general were able to hold that space, the pyramids wouldn't have been needed. And that keeping that flow of energy stabilizes the Earth. It means the Earth doesn't have to have the kind of releases that cause earthquakes or catastrophic events. That's the way I understood it. And let me just turn it over to our sources to see if they want to comment on that.
Thank you. As the Earth spins and it is in a tipped position, it builds up energies in certain places in the Earth that then need to be released. So if the Earth has a heavy grid system, a heavy series of pyramids that can stabilize the energies and allow it to be harmoniously distributed, then they can eliminate much of the negative effects of the residual spins.
So does that mean even if people are balanced and connected to the Earth, the pyramids would have still been important?
We feel that they would be important. As individuals have a separate individual-to-individual energy system, and so with a series of grounding pyramids, it makes it more reliable. The energies work together and bleed off the spins that are collecting in areas that would then need to be released.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you for correcting my perception.
Marilyn, your second question, submit it again for next week, okay? Although we've partially answered it, okay? Next question is, I added a question to Marilyn's question, which was about prophecy. How did Nostradamus do what he did?
Thank you. Nostradamus takes into account the stars, takes into account the meridians that are set up within the star systems. And ordinarily, individuals do not take the larger picture into account, although they do recognize that the presence of the moon, a full moon, create differences in the tides, the fine-tuning of the presence of star systems and their gravity effect upon the Earth is not generally taken into effect, but creates a big effect. Some people have noticed during Mercury retrograde, it is harder to make everything go right. There are subtle energy systems and meridians that affect things. Nostradamus had his finger on the heartbeat of those star systems and their effect.
So it was kind of semi-scientific, his predictions, yes?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. This is from Robin. Robin, I'm going to ask your second question. Ask your first question next week, if you like. All my life, this is Robin in Westminster. All my life, I've had visions of talking to this other person who I feel is my twin soul, who I feel is on another planet, part of what makes me feel unconnected to this Earth. My question is, now I'm going to add a question, Robin. Is my assessment accurate? That's my added question. Am I actually talking to someone who is your twin soul who's on another planet? And her question is, will I meet up or maybe join with this twin soul somehow, and when?
Thank you. There is a strong bond between you and this twin soul. And use it as an aid in comfort and an aid in communication. And it is possible that your twin soul would come into this timeline and you would meet up physically and have a very good relationship.
Thank you. Next question. This is from Bonnie in Corona. I am honored by this rare opportunity to communicate with members of my unseen family. Thank you for looking in on my mother Blanche on the other side and my father Frank, who is still here. They are both improving. I would like to ask for more information about my friend on my left. In other words, she feels like she has either an angel or an advocate or something that's in her space. 2 weeks ago, I learned that this individual is staying with me to stabilize me and to comfort him. Is this my brother Bill, who passed in 2007? I hate to think he has been stuck here. How can I help? Love and light to all, Bonnie.
Are you saying that the individual to your left is different than your brother Bill, or maybe your brother Bill, or
she's thinking it might be her brother Bill? Okay. If it's not, can you give her any more information about that?
Just keep speaking with that individual as you desire and ask questions and fine-tune your energy to listen in the silent meditation of your heart to see what the answers are. And we see this entity as a friend that is with you and is friendly and is has your best interest at heart.
Thank you. Next question. Now, this is for me. It's a follow-up on the question last week. We talked about the Maldekians who are been moved to Earth to continue their evolution, moved from the planet Maldek, where their souls became entangled mass of fear after Maldek exploded in a nuclear disaster. And according to the raw material, the Ra group moved them to Earth where they continued their evolution. But because they were fragmented souls, their souls were damaged. Their souls were not completely coherent. And we discussed that who was the Maldekian souls on this planet. It was indicated the Chinese people, in general, were not Maldekian souls. It was indicated that the Scandinavian people were not Maldekian souls. What are the characteristics that somebody might be experiencing if they happen to have been a Maldekian soul that's now in this realm?
One of the things that happens is in the nuclear explosion, there is a blending, a sudden blending of the souls. And they all have their focus upon the explosion at the same time. And they become blended, and they do not realize they're a separate individual. So they become a knot. And they then have confusion over what is their idea and what is another's idea. So one of the symptoms of a Maldekian soul that has experienced this is having a number of thought processes that jump from one thought to another thought to another thought. And these thoughts of the second individual may not be along the line of what the first individual would like to think. And so it can be very confusing, like, well, how come I'm thinking of going downtown when I don't want to go downtown? And I don't want to go downtown and buy a dress right now, but this one part of me wants to go downtown and buy a dress. And it can be very difficult. So it's a tangle of fear and a tangle of confusion.
So in other words, even though they have separated into separate bodies, part of the thing is that there's part of them are still tangled. And so they're picking up impulses from other souls that are still tangled on the higher levels. Is that right? Is that what you said?
Individuals have broken off and are as one. And they are experiencing difficulty because within that oneness of their own self, they experience differences which doesn't seem normal to them. It is not that they've broken off in a separate body. They can be in the same body.
So more than one Maldekian soul could be occupying the same body.
That's correct.
Okay. And is that fairly common?
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
And so
it creates great confusion.
Yeah, it could kind of look like schizophrenia if somebody is trying to figure it out.
Yes.
Is it part of the thing when the negative creates alters? Is that part of what they draw on?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Next question here is, and this is from, Ruzia, okay? Ruzia in Toronto. I have now read a number of times that there is an invisible grid around the earth. This grid does not allow for souls to go back directly to Source Prime Creator, so they have to keep reincarnating over and over again. If this is true, what is a deceased person supposed to do in order to go directly to Source Prime Creator?
Thank you. One of the things is to pray for the person that has passed and to connect yourself with the higher sources, and they can bring in, angelic forces can bring in a tunnel of light that will safely transport them past the veil, will raise their frequency, will diffuse issues of that their density world and allow them to let go and to be able to connect with the higher sources. So there are ways through.
That's something that we've done on these calls, yes?
Yes.
So when we bring a deceased person up and we ask you to look at them, or you can help create, not in every case though, okay, but sometimes you can help create a bridge through that veil, yes?
Yes. It is called the death walk, to walk a person to the higher realms where they can get help and debriefing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know what? It's 6:53. I don't think we have time for another question. Let's take a moment and just send a request now to our planet for healing. We'll bring a group energy together. Feel our voluntary connection with each other and our sources. For those of you that are open to that, let's send this energy to Los Angeles for moderation of any earthquakes. Let's send this energy to the entire Ring of Fire area that we do every Sunday. Let's just see it stabilized. Let's send this to whatever city we're in. Bring the energy in and ground it to the earth and the grids above you for protection. And we just send blessings and angels to each one on this line. And on that note, we'll bring this call to an end. And we thank you, Terry. We thank you, Hives. We thank you, our sources, and any other beings that are in other dimensions that are positive in service to others, that are helping with this work.